Good morning and praise God. Slip your hands together and bless him in this house this morning. We thank God. Hallelujah for this another day. I do believe that this is the 16th day of February. What a wonderful day for us to be together to bless the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. For this is a day that the Lord has made, that we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Even as the storm rolls, even as the lightning flash, I will not worry, for God, who has his hands on me, he rides upon every storm cloud, even in the midst of the tumultuous storms. For I know that the Lord have said in my heart, peace be still. Isn't it a good thing to be here this morning? But we all admit that for a moment we were concerned. We become just a little bit worried, just in case. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And I'm thankful this morning. And I pray, God, that you are thankful as well. Let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to return and engage in our morning message for today. Eternal God, we thank you so much for so many things. But most of all, we thank you for your darling son, Jesus Christ, that made it all possible. Thank you for such a great salvation as this that have brought us here together in this place, collectively and individually. We ask, oh God, that your Holy Spirit rule and super rule. Take charge of us right now, God, as we give ourselves wholly to you. We ask, oh God, that each individual that is in this place receive their individual blessing. We know, God, that the individual blessing will lead to a corporate fellowship. And then, God, we can raise our families. We can become positive in our communities. God, we can make a difference where difference is to be made. Now, this is how we seek you this morning, God, under the power of your Holy Spirit rule, super rule, as I deliver, God, only what you have processed on the inside. I pray, God, that you will continue to cover, powerfully so, cover, oh God, us in your blood. We ask, oh God, today that we will receive what we need as a local church ministry as well individually, God. I ask that we will receive so that we can become better mothers and better fathers, better sisters and brothers. So, God, we can be that positive force, as I say, God, the change that we want to see occur. We ask this now in the mighty and the magnificent name of Jesus Christ. And they all said, amen. Clap your hands and say, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you so much for being so patient with us as we are somewhat some minutes late. And that is because of me and waiting to the very last minute to make sure that I have received everything that is to be a part of this morning's presentation. Amen. So in other words, it's not like I'm late in my preparation, but it's just that I'm eager in receiving everything. Amen. I want to get it. I want to get it all. I must say that I am critical on myself to make sure that I have fully understood what the Spirit of God is saying, because this is a very weighty matter. Amen. This is a matter of life and death. Yes. The presentation of the word, the preaching of the gospel is a matter of life and death. Amen. For the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life. We have now engaged in the life that is eternal by our faith. Preaching of the gospel is the way that we hear, hearing of the word of God. Amen. So to me, it's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of life and death. I need someone just to declare upon their lips, I need a word from God. Amen. And you've got to get past the vessel now, because the vessel, as myself, is not the essential part to you receiving a word. It is that it is simply the method by which God has chosen at this time for you to be, for you to receive the word of God. Amen. You got a word on your way here, as the angels of God minister unto you. You get a word constantly throughout the week because there is always, God is constantly speaking. I hope you have your Bibles. Now, next week, next week is going to be somewhat special for us. I need you to make plans specifically to be here next week because I have am going to Charity Begins at Home. Right. And I have summoned and challenged all of Cassie and I's children to do better, to be here. Not only to do better and to be here, but also to take on responsibility. And I guess you say, why is that so special day? It's because I'm going to challenge them. And I want you to rally around me as I'm going to challenge my household, not as in my address, but the children to come and do better with being in church attendance. Amen. It's not the only way that we build a relationship, but it is strengthening in our fellowship. And fellowship is important, people, because we strengthen each other. And any time that you can get into fellowship, you're going to find strength. And I want them to be strong. Amen. I think that there was probably a different way that I wanted to say that, but it's out there. And when I say that I'm going to challenge them, I'm going to require them to be, especially my sons, to be participants. So we'll just look forward, if the Lord say the same, to just be here next Sunday. Amen. I just really kind of fumbled over that. Today is a marvelous day to summarize previous lectures and messages on the topic of our spiritual growth. This is a good time to summarize, because I know that I've fed you a lot these last few weeks. And I think it's a good time to summarize the messages and lectures on the topic of our spiritual growth as it relates to our maturing in our relationship with God. Maturing in our relationship with God. I sincerely hope that you've been challenged by talking about the significant goals that we partake in the face of challenge, or despite the challenge, about the power of staying there and committing ourselves to the smaller morsels that lead to a complete destiny. Steps by steps, I hope that you've been challenged to the point that you can see a significant change in your values, that you can see a significant change in your beliefs, and also a significant change in your experience, your day-to-day ordinariness of life. Because everything that relates to God is progressive. Everything that relates to God is progressive. If you're waiting for the moment that you can sit back and chill and cruise in your relationship with God, newsflash, it doesn't exist. If God made an approach to Abraham and Sarah at 90 years old, in their 90s, to bear a child that was going to become the seed of promise, think of your age and think of the probability of God coming to you to require of you something that he wants you to do for him. Sounds extreme when you start thinking about the idea of giving birth to a child in old years or your senior years. That sounds a little extreme. But when it comes to what God expects, everything that God expects is extreme. Why? Because he's an extraordinary, he's a magnanimous, splendiferous God. He's huge. And everything that relates to him is progressive. So if you're waiting on the point, the time that you can sit back with the blessings of God and just take a chill pill, it's not coming. Now, at the same time, I want to take time to say that you will learn through experience, listen to me carefully, to rest in your calling. The more you receive the things of God, and as I say, by bits and pieces, by morsel, take and make them practical, it becomes easier for you to do the things that God requires of you. I don't want you to think that when Noah was required to build an ark, that God just came upon him with no prior experience. He came to Noah at a time that Noah had so many experiences that though it would be challenging, it would not be difficult for him to accept what God is now requiring him to do. Which causes me to ask you, what is your personal experience with God? So much so that he could come to you and ask of you something that you just feel that is out of the realm of being practical, God. That's just too much. That's just too extreme. And God essentially coming to you and saying, after all of this time, the blessings that I was given was not just for you to become a hoarder, but for you to have a personal experience with me. To know that the things even that I give is not just for the purpose of you becoming a materialistic person, but these were things to help build in a relationship. I don't give flowers to prove my love. I give flowers because I love. The flowers are going to wither and die. My love is going to remain. And as my love remains, there's going to come more. And I'm going to give consistently. I can't love on special days. If I didn't feel you deserve flowers on January the 29th, whatever that is, then why are you so deserving on a special day in February? It's hard for you to give me a trinket of something that is no more than just a trend. when there is nothing from your heart that says to me, you love me. Amen. When God does something for you, he does it specifically for you. Amen. Because I like to keep it real now, because if I got flowers and somebody else got flowers on the same day, that's all I have to say there. When God does what he does for you, he's doing it for you. And he's not doing it because it's trendy. He's doing it because he's God. Everything about God is progressive. With the first man, Adam, and everything after Adam, God revealed himself. He revealed himself to two naked people in a garden. And ever since that day, and every man after Adam, God revealed himself. And now here we are today, clothed, having been given the Son of Jesus Christ as a Savior from the sins that we inherited from Adam. Come on, work with me. Born in sin, huh? Shaped in iniquity. I came here, even my very flesh itself is sin. But now God has revealed himself by a show of hands to me by saving me. He saved me. Amen. Which means that God has revealed himself to me through Jesus Christ, my Savior, by faith. Every revelation builds upon previous revelations. Everything since the Garden of Eden and Adam's experience with God through revelation, every revelation builds on the previous revelation. Whatever God revealed to Adam in the Garden of Eden, our current revelations have become the continuation of the very first revelation to Adam. Not only are they building, but they clarify the previous revelation. So if God reveals something to you at 49 years old, it is going to clarify something that God revealed to you at 25 years old. It is not independent in of itself. It is clarifying. I didn't say confirming, and there's a difference. But it clarifies. It is as though you can say, now I know. The revelations of God can sometimes be foggy. And it takes us some period of time for them to be clarified. But there is coming a revelation that is going to clarify a previous revelation. I talked to you all the other day. I said that because I wanted to rest right here. About somewhere there has been a prophetic utterance spoken over you or to you. I don't know how many people went back to kind of check that out and try to go through their life's portfolio to try to find out. Let me see. I heard him talk about, y'all remember who I told you it was? My Uncle Daniel. Now, some people may have thought that he was talking about the shape of my head because he called it a little pea head. You got to get past that and you got to get down to the point that he said is something in there. Now, that was just a statement. Like, trying to make this so that you can really absorb this. Like, Derek and Jock have beautiful locks of hair like that of what Samson or Christ would have had because they were Nazarites. They didn't cut their hair. You don't take anything of it because it's so just given that they both generally have some really nice locks, right? I may be saying them right. Those are locks, right? And you don't take anything of it. In the simplicity of that simple statement, it could be revealing, but it's not clarified until Derek or Jock later in life, with something that is significant in that circumstance, causes them to recall, man, that day, and this is just depending on how God wants to present himself to them 20 years from now, where God's going to come and clarify something that is predicated upon the statement that is made today. Is that too hard for you all to get? But without that statement being made previously, then that present revelation or prophetic utterance would not have the same effect. Every revelation builds on a previous revelation. And each revelation clarifies another revelation. What I'm really trying to get you to zero in now is just don't walk around mindless. No, I was saying that. Don't walk around spiritually mindless. Everything that God does is significant. Everything. Huh? We don't want to accept that till we just want to tell that to somebody else because we want them to get it. You know, God works in mysterious ways. That's you looking at them wanting to get them to be okay with something. Well, he worked in mysterious ways in your life too. We want somebody else to understand and be okay with something. You know, that's the work of the Lord. How often do we say that to ourselves concerning our personal circumstance? God, you are mysteriously working. Wonderfully so. All right? So our understanding of God progresses as we learn more about him in the scriptures, in lectures, and in sermons. Right? So what I'm talking about today is supposed to progress our understanding of God. Can you say amen? And I strongly encourage you today, February 16th, to not underestimate the power of God over your life. Don't underestimate the power of God over your life. Don't underestimate the power of God over your life. You're not too old. You're not too fat. You're not too skinny. You're not too dark. You're not too light. You're not too smart. You're not too dumb. You're not too this and you're not too that. Don't underestimate the power of God over your life. It has nothing to do with who your mother, well, it does may have something to do with who your mother is and who your father is, because that's all of God bringing you to this very moment. In that sense, it's significant. But it does not take away from
what God proposes to do in your life. You've got to feel yourself so purposeful right now to know that the person that I'm sitting next to, God, you brought me to this very present moment in time. Where I am right now. And all the circumstances surrounding where I am right now. Thank you, Lord. You get excited because God spared you last night and a tornado didn't come through. God could have brought an EF-15. You ever heard of one of those? That's like, I don't know. Well, the highest one they have is a 5, but God could bring a 15. Right? Down your street, round your house, through your living room, in your bathroom, in every room in your house, even that tub you got in, the closet that you hid in, the bed that you hid under. He could have brought the F-15 all through there, through there, through there, and you still would be sitting here today. Huh? Yes, that's right. You all the ones that said, yeah, it's amazing how it just did that one, but it didn't do that one, and he did this one, but it didn't do that one, and how did that happen? But this tree is standing next to that tree. That tree's gone, but this tree is standing. Not a leaf falling. Huh? Don't underestimate the power of God over your life. It's your personal responsibility. Somebody say, it's my responsibility. To keep my mind aligned with the things of the Holy Spirit. It's your responsibility to do what? That's right. Keep my mind aligned with the things of the Holy Spirit. It will tell you when to speak. It will tell you when to shut up. Huh? And when the Holy Ghost told you to shut up, you won't be itching to say something. And you don't have any problems with continuing listening. When you align yourself with the Holy Spirit. All of those things you say, it's a time to do this and it's a time to do that. It's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. That's a person who have truly aligned themselves with the Holy Spirit. Or they won't be able to complete those tasks. That's a time they'll never have in their life. Huh? Romans 12, verse number 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be you what? Transformed by the do what? Renewing of your mind, that you may do what? What is that good? An acceptable and perfect will of God. I said that so that when I told you some weeks ago, before Kendrick Lamar told you, I told you Sunday before the Super Bowl, turn your TVs off. Now, he told everybody to turn that TV off and it's buzzing. I said that Sunday before in opening, I said, turn your TVs off and spend more time connecting with your family, being concerned about your personal health, focus, right? It doesn't bother me that when he said it, everybody listened and everybody wanted to do it. I told those who the Lord asked me to tell is to not be so moved by everything that you see when you turn that TV on. He said it's all a game. And that you're the one that is expendable in that game. That's basically what he was telling you. It's all a game and you are expendable. The game can go on without you. Huh? Oh, they was talking about a message, but they never got down to talking about, it's not about racism. It's not about black and white. It's about good and evil. It's about what God is doing in your life and what you permit the enemy to do through the conformity of your mind to this world. Well, I knew that, but I'm glad to know the way that he said, I can't say it like that. And I am probably not going to get no invite to do the halftime show. I don't know, but God is just, he's miraculous, but I don't think so. So instead of following these societal norms, say that word, societal norms, a better way to remember them is called trends. Say that with me, trends. Right? Do you follow trends? I heard somebody say, of course. Yes. You should focus on spiritual growth. All right? You should focus on spiritual growth. Transformation comes from within. Transformation is what happens when you start talking about what's your mindset. Not what's on your mind, but your mindset. It's what you have set up on the inside of yourself to say that now that I got this on, I think I look good. If you had to put that on to think that you look good, you're still ugly. Because you're actually thinking that something on the outside is going to improve your being. It makes you feel better about yourself. And that depends. Sometimes you don't feel better. You just want others. You just want to put on a filter. Huh? Oh, boy. One of the most renowned buzzwords today is called trending. This is trending. This is trending. Did y'all know that trending is demanding? It is. Trending is demanding because it locks you into doing things that you really don't like. You're only doing it because it is a trend. I don't like it, but I'm doing it because that's what everyone. Trend is another way of you saying that you're doing things that you really don't care for. But out of that same mouth, you'll declare, don't nobody run me. Don't nobody tell me what to do. Doing things that you don't care for. But you do it because you want to look like everyone else. And you want to show that you can do what they do, but you can do it better. Huh? And so you go ahead and you do it anyway. Because trends is another way of saying that you have just given yourself to more so the cares of this world. Right? Now, when I was coming up, as probably most of you all, being warm means that you had on every color that you had in your closet. Right? Being warm means that you have on every color, shape, and you had to pull stuff down to see because you was wrapped up all around. And you really had to have something around that neck. Right? Had to have something on your head. And we didn't have a whole lot of RSV. We had colds. And we had colds during cold season. And colds were so rare having them out of season until you called it a summer cold. Now we have something going on with our respiratory 365. What if that have anything to do with the idea that it's 20 degrees and you got on shorts and a windbreaker and they got a match? I'm just really trying to do something now. I mean, does it really matter anymore that when it turns cold, that something on the inside of us would tell us that my body needs to be covered? Right? You would think. And I don't have to look good, but I'm going to cover it. I don't have to just be tacky either. But now I got a problem with pajamas and house shoes at Walmart. I ain't got no story to tell. Because that's bed clothes. But if you warm, and that's what it takes for you to be warm, then be warm. I'm trying to make some, do some things here. To show you now, being cute overrides being well. As long as I'm cute, it doesn't make any difference. I just got to be cute. And I can't be cute and be well. But, and I told y'all, the last whipping that I got that I remember is because I went to bed naked, which is translated, I went to bed without a T-shirt on. I don't know how my mom thought that was naked, but you don't sleep naked. And she woke me up, and I thought she was losing her mind, whipping me because she done told me about, and I just wanted to sleep. I didn't want to sleep with a T-shirt on. It was either that or me writing on that window in that fog that she hit me. No, she hit me with the dish towel then. But that was, she woke me up. And I thought she was losing her mind. But she was trying to get me to do something. The season is this. And y'all know how it was at 412. When winter came, you put on winter clothes. That's right. Everything. It's winter. And in my father-in-law's house, when it's winter time, now I don't know what you're doing now, but I know what he said, and I know what he told you to do. That if it's winter, you put on winter clothes. Right? And just because it's 80 degrees in December, last week, it's still winter. Right? And I told y'all, and y'all really thought it was, we was finna barbecue a couple of weeks ago. Y'all thought it was, we was about to barbecue. 17 degrees is coming next week. 12, 6, 9, 8. Tell your neighbor it's still winter. So when it comes to our spirituality, we need to be consistent with the flow of the revelation of God. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. The mindset. We fail to realize that my relationship with God is spiritual. And one of the problems that we face now over the last 30 years or so is that we have failed to realize that the relationship with God isn't predicated upon what you wear or where you live. Relationship with God is not symbolized through Gucci or Prada or Donatella Versace, or Burberry, or Louboutin. It's not predicated on a Mercedes or a BMW. It's not predicated upon living in a big house. My relationship has nothing with God, has nothing to do with material things. Can you say amen? Your relationship with God is not material. For the last 25 or 30 years or so, we have caused people to experience what they didn't expect or have an expectation that they don't experience. Because we made our relationship with God to be so material. So we haven't gotten a word from God until you tell me that I'm gonna get that big house that I want. I haven't checked in with God to see what size or what whatever. Huh? And then, because we didn't make our relationship with God spiritual, we set it in our mind to want a big house, and then something happens and we can't keep the big house because God didn't really want to give you the big house. He wanted to give you the job first to afford the big house. Huh? Because if he gave you a treat and you ask him for a house, you say, God, what's this? I didn't ask for a treat. I asked for a house. But he tells you the tree, the house, is inside the tree. Follow me closely. It's then that you will realize, oh, I've got to exercise my gift of carpentry. The tree makes sense because I am a carpenter. And now I can take the trees and I can build out of that. I hope y'all hear me carefully. You've got to know that when God relates to you, he is giving you something that is inside of you that is called a gift. Someone says a gift. And that gift is how God is going to move you forward so that everything that he intends to blossom from you and for you to possess will be the offspring or the result of what you are gifted with. Everything that you do or you have the ability to do, that God has gifted you with that ability to do, is a result of what he has revealed to you about yourself. And at the onset, it may seem like it's difficult. It may seem as though it's challenging. But when you know that that's what God have called you to do, then that's what you're going to give focus upon. You go to Romans chapter 8, because I'm going to have to go at this a whole different way. I feel like I'm arguing with myself here. Romans 8, listen carefully. Likewise, verse number 26, you there? You're there. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. What is an infirmity? A weakness. Okay? The Spirit helpeth our what? Weakness. In what area? Every weakness. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we know not what we should pray for. Stop for a moment. Pause. Now, can you just really look up and just recite what you just read? I really don't know what to pray for. I'm saying the same thing that I just fumbled over a few minutes ago. I'm coming at it a different way. But at the end, I really want you to go back and say, oh, that's what he was trying to say to me. I really don't know what to pray for. Do I know really how to pray for a relationship? Do I know how to pray for when to have children? Do I know how to pray for when to get a car? Do I know how to pray for these things? Do I really, really not so? Go back. Who helps you? Holy Spirit helps me in my weakness, because it is a weakness in my inability to know what to pray for. So what does he do? How does he help you? It's in front of you. What does he do? Okay, stay with me. Look up at me and learn. Because I don't know what to pray for, But I give myself to him, surrendering all to him. It don't mean that I just lay there now and become lethargic. It doesn't mean that I'm sitting here in some comatose state. It just means that I'm resting and I'm depending and I'm binding so much so with the Holy Spirit. In turn, the Holy Spirit, through my weakness, goes to God on my behalf. Listen to me carefully. He goes to God on my behalf. He doesn't go with words. Because you have words. But he goes to God with what? Groanings. Now, this is really going to blow you away. He goes to God with groanings that cannot be uttered. What does that sound like? Exactly. It can't be uttered. You can't hum it. That's uttered. You can't say it. Lord, please. That's uttered. He goes with something that doesn't even have a sound. And who is he going to God for? For me. To help me in my weakness, my infirmities. It cannot be uttered. There are no words. It's too deep to express. Y'all get this verse. Stay with me. That means that I can have a move of God going on in my life. Somebody say, I'm here. I can have a move of God going on in my life that my mind has not yet perceived. Because I have the Holy Spirit over here moving on my behalf in my weakness because of what I have the inability to do, working things out with God for me. But it has not yet reached my mind. Is this too hard? God is working things. The Holy Spirit is working things in my life for me. He is helping me in my infirmities. Now, I'm not going to permit my mind to talk me out of what God has revealed. Oh, God. You say it, so it'll work for you. I will not let my mind talk me out of what God has revealed. Because when you actually get wind of what the Holy Spirit comes back with after the utterance that he has made that you could not hear, because God is not sensual, you cannot see him, you cannot touch him. He does not have a voice. If he speaks to you, he don't speak to you in words because he doesn't have a mouth. He doesn't have a tongue. He doesn't have teeth because God is a spirit. So when he goes to God and he communicates with God on my behalf, now it's been worked out. God has sent it by way of the Holy Spirit. Now I get wind of it. I am now brought in. About what has been discussed about me. And when I hear it now, it has now moved into what is called natural perception. Now I got something on my mind. Oh, where did that come from? And it's easy for you to say, that's crazy. Who brought that back to you? Holy Spirit brought it. And what does it sound like? Well, I know you don't want to say crazy, but let me tell you who did say it was crazy. Sarah. And it was so crazy that she laughed. Yep. She laughed. I'm going to let you read the story. I'm going to say some stuff to make you go back and read the story. When the Holy Spirit told her that she laughed, she lied. She said, I didn't. Because when it came to her that you are about to receive a child in your old age, though the Holy Spirit had gone to our God on her behalf, because this is what God wants for her to use to his glory through her. She found that to be just, you what? And I'm going to do. Okay, that's Mary. What about you? I mean, that's Sarah. What about you? What have you laughed at lately? What have you laughed at lately? And I know what you're sitting there and you're thinking right now. Preacher, I get all of this and I see it through them. But how do I process all of this stuff? Like, how do I really know? Because I think a whole lot of stuff. And how do I know the difference between what God is doing as his Holy Spirit is coming back to tell me that he and God worked out, and stuff that I'm just coming up with because, you know, what is the difference between the two? It comes through experience and aligning yourself. Let me tell you, when you're a child, you want everything. How many of y'all have really, really, truly grown to the point that you can see it, but you don't have to have it? Now, that's the new you. Because what is the old you? If I saw it, I got it. It didn't make any difference whether I could afford it. What made your credit $399? Being completely what? Childish. Because everything you saw, you had to have it. Right? So now, some people call it old. But I call it wise. I'm like somebody else I done heard about now. I got money and sense with it. I don't have to have it. Huh? Really? Come on now. And not only is it the idea that this is just who you are because you're doing that, but couldn't it be that the Holy Spirit is really growing you up? Because it's not that you have not become progressive. It's just that through experience, you become just disciplined. And you'll know when it's something that God is doing. Can we go a little bit further? So likewise, the Spirit. Y'all got Romans 8, 26 and 27? He helpeth us in our infirmities, for we know not what to ask for. So here it is that the Holy Spirit is making intercessions too deep for words to express. So I can have a move of God in my spirit that my mind has not perceived because it goes outside of my sensual perception, what I can hear. So now it is very true that you're going to find that some of the most spectacular moves of God are seen in calling people. When you see God moving in your life, when you see him calling people, God calls you in such a manner that when all hell breaks loose, guess what? You stay right there. God calls you in such a manner and is so great, is so ecstatic that when he does it, you won't let it go. You won't abandon it. You stick with it. You'll stay with it. You can look back on your call and you can say that despite how many devils that are trying to hinder me, I'm going to stay right here. God placed me where I am. Y'all have heard this before. Why did Jesus stay on that cross when he had the power to come down? It's because he knew why he was there. Right? And when I know why I'm here, then I'm not intimidated because you're asking me to come down. Huh? I can stay right where I am. I'm not going to let my mind talk me out of what revelation has given to me. You can begin to, in your call, with all of these things that are going on, it is my anointing that has recruited me. It is my love for God that has recruited me. It is through my experience that I am now a recruit. I am eligible for whatever God wants me to do. Are y'all here with me now? So now, I'm going to stay on this road. I'm not going to get off this road. I'm going to stay right here. I want you to see in a close today, one last one. I want you to go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Now, y'all, and I use you, Derek, you and Jock earlier, and I want y'all to see this again, and I want everybody to see it. Because it's so important to me now, because people, for a moment, you're going to Luke. We have got to up the game with our influence. We have got to get better with our influence. I can't make any of these young people over here. I ain't going to ever be. I'm not a celebrity. I'm the man of God. Are y'all with me? You're not a celebrity, Eddie. You're not a celebrity, Jock. But there has to be something about us as men that causes them to see other influential men, but they choose to follow us that's following God. And not getting behind what's trendy and spectacular and exciting and running behind it. And if you think that just because you say it out of your mouth, son, if I were you, I wouldn't do that, that's going to work. It didn't work for you, and it's not going to work for them. There has to be something that we're doing in God that is going to cause them to be so attracted to us. Huh? There has to be something that even when they're ready to go, I'd be glad when he gets finished. There has to be something that's going on here spiritually. Are y'all with me now? There has to be something that's happening right here that we can't see. That the Holy Spirit, in my infirmity, meaning my inability to keep their attention, there has to be something that's moving here, resonating, and so powerful that when they are confronted with the influences of the world, they choose what's going on right here. Now, I told you over 25 years, we've gotten off track, because if this thing ain't blaring and loud and them ain't beating and jumping, I'm saying that's a good thing. But now people just want to come and they just want a concert. If you don't have a praise team, people ain't coming. They don't want a word. They want a song. They want to be entertained. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? They're not looking for anything that's going to help to grow them closer. A word, it comes through scripture, it comes through word, declaring the word of God. That's not going to change. There has to be something that even if I said it when I first opened my mouth, that haven't left their mind since they got that, and they're just thinking about that over and over and over. Okay. Before, how many of y'all watched the Super Bowl? You did? Eddie, what's the name of the song that he sung at halftime, the big song? You don't remember? I didn't see that part. You didn't watch that part? Well, man, you're about the only one in here, because everybody else going to know about. They did, but I need to find somebody that didn't know, not like us. Huh? I need somebody here that didn't know, not like us, until that Super Bowl Sunday. But ever since then, they've been humming it. And they find themselves humming the song because it had such an influence and a move that people that never heard it before, now all of a sudden just with the jingle. I'm saying that to say that the things that seem so attractive to us and that's drawing us in, nothing against nothing. I think it was the most beautiful performance, and thank God for so much of my culture just moving into the interior. I can't see nothing about me being discriminated against, because everything on that was just representing who I am. So, but there's nothing here. There has to be something that's going on right here between us that's drawing them. As you look at Luke chapter 1, you there? I'm not. Be there in a second. This is the closing verse. Luke 1, Bible. Luke 1. All right. Okay. Verse number 5. That was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias. What's his name? Somebody said that's John the Baptist's daddy. All right. Of course, of Abia. And his wife was of the daughter of Aaron, and her name was what? What's his name? What's her name? They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments. Somebody say they had experience. They had a life that they attended to that was a spiritual life. How did they do it? Walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Blameless don't mean that they were perfect. It simply means that they were doing all that they could do. And they had no what? They didn't have no children, right? Because Elizabeth's what? Was what? Tell me what that means. Didn't have or couldn't have? Couldn't have. Somebody said she could not have. Not she did not have. She could not have. Why was she without a child? Because it was medically and scientifically what? Impossible. Right? And they were not only that, it wasn't because she was old that she couldn't have them, but she couldn't even have them when she was younger. And now, through her whole life not being able to have them, she's gotten old on top of that. Somebody say it's compounded. Right? All right. And what happened? In verse, first words in verse number 8. And it came to pass. When you see that, I want you to see, look up for a moment. Revelations, the thing's still connected. Revelations are building on a previous revelation. All right? It came to pass. And they are going to clarify something that has already been revealed. John the Baptist, which is going to be their son, when you see that word, and it came to pass, I need you to know that it's saying, and just like he was prophesied about in the Old Testament, now comes this day. Are you with me? Because that day he said something about our locks, years from now comes this day. Are you with me? Now, it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office, caught him in the middle of Zechariah doing what he did. He was doing it in the order of his course, according to the customs of the priests of his office. Now, he is really kind of locked in tradition right here. Stay with me. He is locked in tradition, but he's doing it because obedience is better than the sacrifice. Sometimes coming to church is not like the thing. I don't go to church because there ain't nothing in there but hellions and things. But then you're still being obedient because the Lord says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. I'm going out here to worship. I'm not going for them. I'm going because this is what I do in my spiritual life. Somebody say amen. Amen. So he's going through this. He's burning incense. We don't do that anymore. He's doing what it says, and these are traditions. And the whole multitude of people were praying outside at the time of his incense. He's a priest on the inside. He's doing what I'm doing right now. He's preaching. But the way they preached and the way they did it tied back then is the preacher would go in, and all y'all got sins, and I say, y'all wait that right here with all them sins y'all committed. I'm going in here before the Lord, and I go in and I light some incense, but y'all can't come in here. I'm the only one that is assigned and qualified by God to come in here, and I go in here and I burn the incense on y'all behalf for you all sin. Now that's how it used to be, right? And so he's doing that. And there appeared unto him what? An angel of the Lord. Did he have to be in that place? He could have been in the middle of the cornfield. Somebody say the angel was coming anyway. He's coming anyway, right, Eddie? And he was standing on the right side of it. And when Zechariah saw him, He was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not. Where did that angel just come from? No, making intercessions on our behalf. He's the messenger who comes to tell. All right? Because the Holy Spirit has made intercessions. Now the angel comes to give prophetic utterance. Y'all with me? Here is prophetic utterance. He says, fear not now, for thy prayers is heard. And the look on his face when he said that. Because the look says, when did I pray? For you to show up. But the Holy Spirit was making intercessions on your behalf. Clear? Can I read on? Your prayers have been heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a son. At some point, that man prayed for a kid. But now that he that old, what? He forgot. He had let it go. You know what? He was okay with God because he didn't have a kid. I'm still here, Lord. I'm worshiping you even though you didn't come through. Come on, somebody. Lord, I'm going to keep on worshiping you. I'm going to stay on my assignment even though that kid I prayed for. Not that I wasn't meaningful when I said it, but you know what? It was okay, God. Because, you know, you just that good that I didn't even miss the idea that I didn't have a child. But I just wanted you to know that you can rejoice now because thy wife Elizabeth is going to bear a son. And what you going to call him? And y'all know him as John the Baptist. Are y'all with me? And thou shalt have joy and gladness. And now he tells him that this blessing is going to be a great blessing to you. It's going to be a blessing to you. He's not going to be a worry. He's going to be a good boy. He's going to be a blessing to you. And many shall rejoice at his birth. People are going to be glad that you had John. He's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. And he's going to drink neither wine nor strong drink. He's going to be a Nazarite. Just like you are, John. He's going to be just like his daddy. When he said he shall not take strong drink, he's going to grow his hair. He's going to have them big, long locks. They don't cut their hair. They don't get married. They don't take strong drinks. That's called a Nazarite. Same as Jesus was, same as Elijah was, same as Zachariah. Same as Zachariah. And many of the children of Israel, I'm sorry, I skipped something, drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Did y'all read that? Even from his mother's womb. When is he going to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Huh? When he's in the womb. That's important. Don't miss that. Is he going to be filled with the Holy Ghost on Sunday evening service at the end? Is he going to be filled? You should be at church. Are you going to be filled with the Holy Ghost after they come up there and they put their hands on you? You're going to do all this. That's when he's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Is he going to be filled with the Holy Ghost when he's speaking tongues? Is he going to be filled with the Holy Ghost when he say Jesus, 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 Jesus? Is he going to be filled with the Holy Ghost when he, what? Go in the water, when? He's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost before anybody even see him. He's going to come in here full of the Holy Ghost. You ain't going to have no deliverance service for John the Baptist. That's what's going on inside of you right now. Something that's already full of God. Huh? And so he tells him, where am I? It's really filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall turn unto the Lord their God, and he shall go before his face in the spirit and the power of Elijah, a Nazarite, to turn the hearts of the father to the children and the disobedient to walk in the wisdom of the just and to make ready for the Lord a people prepared for him. And Zechariah said to the angel, whereby shall I know this? How do I know this? In other words, let me help y'all translate that. God, how do I really know this is you? How do I know I'm just not hearing something? How do I not know? I'm an old man. This doesn't sound real. It's unbelievable. And not only that, I can't have it. My wife is old and she can't bear children. And the angel answered and said to him, I'm Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to make this prophetic utterance and to bring these good tidings. And behold, don't let your mind talk you out of what has been revealed. Thou shalt be silent. Oh, the Holy Ghost knows what we need. Because just as sure as you have the ability to talk, not only are you going to let your mind talk you out of it, you're going to let your mouth talk you out of it too. You got that, Regina? How many times have you talked your own self out of? How many times have you let your mind, let your mouth, let somebody else uncall you when God called you? I hope I'm not taking too long. And behold, thou shalt be silent, not able to speak until the day that these things have come to pass. Behold, thou believest not my word, which shall be fulfilled in their season. That's not a question, that's a statement. Did not Gabriel just tell him, I know that you don't believe this, but I'm going to help your unbelief. I hope this is helping us, somebody here today. So now, and when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he continued making signs. He signed unto them and remained dumb. And it came to pass when the days of ministration were filled, meaning his period of serving the temple was over, he left and he went back to his house. So they had to go to the temple and they had to stay down there like firemen stay at the firehouse, right? And he had said, but now he can go home, right? Now, I need y'all to stop right there because there's a period. There's a period for a purpose. It's because y'all not going to believe what's going to happen next. When that man went home, well, then we just need to read the next verse. And after these days, Elizabeth, his wife, conceived, and she hid herself for 5 months. From verse 23 to verse 24, 6 months has passed. They didn't tell you all of the details. They just said, and 6 months later, here comes Elizabeth walking out, 6 months pregnant. Are y'all with me? Thus hath the Lord done unto me in the days wherein he looked upon me to take away my reproach among men. I couldn't have a child. God came and he fixed that. Now in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto Galilee. Now he's going over to Galilee. He's going over to Mary's house. She's a virgin. What's the difference between Mary and Elizabeth? Come on, y'all work with me. Huh? Thank you. She's married and she's not a virgin. Mary is a virgin. Right? Both of their conceptions are supernatural. But the difference is Mary has not been touched. Right? Elizabeth tried and couldn't. Right? All right. Now, so when she walks in, and he goes in to Joseph, the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, in previous times, he had already talked to Joseph, y'all. So we picking up with Mary. And he came into her, and he said, Hail, thou art highly favored unto the Lord. But she was greatly troubled at this saying and cast her mind, what manner of salutation is this? You all see this happening now? He says, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Jump down to verse number 34. And Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High God shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also the holy thing which is begotten shall be called the Son of God. Are y'all there? All right. And verse number 36. And behold, Elizabeth. Who is he talking to? Who is the angel talking to? Mary. Who is he talking about? Her cousin who? She hath conceived a son in her old age. Are you with me? All right. Now, what he's about to do now, I want you all to see this. This is where he will use another human vessel to move in on your life. Right? I've done this for you. Now I want you to go to Eddie, and I'm working in his life too, but I'm sending you there for a purpose. Because I'm doing something great in her also. But I'm going to take both of these things that's happening. And this is what's supposed to be happening when we come together in here. Something's happening in you, Regina, and something is happening in me. Something is happening in all of us. But when we come together, come on, somebody. Right now, even through this preaching, I'm supposed to all be drawing from you as much as you are drawing from me. I ought not be preaching to hear myself or to think that I sound good. When you come here, I should get something from you just like you're getting something from me. Huh? But if you come in here with a wayward spirit, don't want to be here, whatever else going on already, we can't get anything from each other. Huh? You go to Elizabeth because I've done something in her. What's the next words? What happens after he tells her to do that? Huh? Read. What did? That's after he told, no, after he tell her. All right. Nothing shall be impossible. Now we know that Elizabeth already knows, but he goes and tell Mary, and he wants Mary to go to her, right? And he tells Mary, now, I'm going to help your unbelief, and I'm going to move hers forward, but I'm going to be doing something to my glory at the same time, right? I'm trying to rush you all. It's going to help Mary's unbelief because this is remarkable to her. But she know that Elizabeth can't have a baby. She don't even know that she's pregnant. When she see her pregnant, it's going to help her in her unbelief. Huh? How do we translate that today? When I see you getting blessed, Mom, then that ought to excite me about what God is doing in my life. But if I get too busy hating on you because of what God did in your life, then I can't bring to fruition the stuff that God is doing in my life. Don't hate when you get blessed. Get glad. Let it help you. Huh? You got it? Praise God. He's doing some stuff for me too. Read. And then what did she do?
And Mary rose in those days and
got up, went out with, that means she didn't delay, she didn't hesitate, she was obedient, she went straight to her cousin Mary's house. When is the last time the Lord told you, call Don? And you said, what for? I ain't got nothing to say. If the Holy Ghost tell you to call me and hang up, but call me. Oh, he may be busy. He might have to do this. Call and say, I know you're busy, but I just called to say hello. You don't know what God, we've got to become sensitive, Tiffany, to doing what God tells us to do, even though it's not trendy and it may not be popular and it might not make sense. Huh? We didn't run into each other on 31 by happenstance. I don't know why. It may be revealed later and it may not. You don't ever have do nothing by happenstance. Read.
Into the city of Judah and entered into the house of Zechariah.
Went into her house.
And saluted Elizabeth.
Because Zach can't say nothing. Mm-hmm. Somebody say, Zach can't talk. He just gave her a wave offering because he can't say nothing. Read.
And it came to pass. That when Elizabeth heard the same
thing. Now, wait a minute now. Come on, Tad. I need to use you today because I can't use one of the boys today. Come on, Regina. I got you. Now, we got two. Come on now. We got two things going on here. And you are Mary and you are Elizabeth. And these are not twins. These are two different compartments. These are two different compartments. One in this compartment and one in this compartment. Separated. Completely separated. No physical contact with one another, right? But when the power of God rests upon you so greatly, I don't need you to just go because I want you to be encouraged, because when you see her expecting, you're excited because, oh my God, God is just really, this is wonderful. It couldn't have happened to her. And you're a young virgin and she's an older woman. And you're so happy for her. You're excited with the moment. But God is doing more than just the moment. You just don't know it yet. But God's doing more than just the two of y'all being here. Oh, God. He's doing more. This hadn't even come to your mind yet. You're just being obedient by coming, and you got excited. And then you want to talk about what God is doing for you, but you're just being a blessing and excited about what God is doing for her. Are you with me? Wait a minute. And while you two are the blessed of God with your babies, God is about to get the honor and the glory out of all of it. It's time for me to preach it. You can't give him the glory. So don't say, God, I give you the glory. Because the glory is his. And you can't say out of your mouth, I give you glory. Because you don't even know what's going on for him to get the glory. Preach, Don. You can't give him no honor because the honor is his. He is the honor. So we ain't got to get in coming here first giving honor to God and to all glory be to God, because you ain't got none to give. God says the glory is mine and I don't share it with another. God's glory is when you don't even know what's going on. But I just let you get caught up in the praise. You can get excited about that. And oh, here it is that she says they come in, and y'all reading the story, and she come in her presence, watch the glory. Somebody say, where's the glory? The glory is that when Mary came into a physical geographic location with Mary, God wanted them to see each other so that he can show them that I'm doing something that you didn't know anything about. You are 6 months pregnant and you know that I feel like I'm pregnant, but I ain't felt nothing move. I ain't felt no move. And I don't really know if what God doing, what he said he gonna do, cause I ain't felt nothing. Wait a minute. But it ain't about you feeling anything. I said the glory is his, right? It's about God said that I'm going to fill him with the Holy Ghost before he comes out of your womb. So I had to bring my Savior, oh God, in his presence. Because the only way that he can receive the Holy Ghost is that Jesus has got to be present. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. And until Jesus comes in, the Holy Ghost will not perform. Come on, somebody. But when Jesus says, he says, if I don't go, the Comforter will not come. Huh? Now, here's where he gets the glory. She jumped up and says, my baby just leaped in my womb. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? Now you know that you know that you know you know. Nobody else felt it but you. Huh?
They can't say what God has done for you, because you know it and God has confirmed it. Come on, somebody. Somebody say, God got the glory. What if that had to do with either one of them? Really nothing. Somebody say, that's God's glory. That's why, Jock, me and you, brother, and me and you and Eddie, we just got to keep working on it. And God going to get the glory, because I may not be here. But y'all see these boys over here? I'm talking, this is what I want to get to. And my sons and your daughters, you ain't got to worry about them, Mom. Because God, if he brought you in, he can bring them in. If he brought me in, he can bring them in. What you got to do is just let God keep working on you. And in his time, somebody say, he's going to bring them all. You ain't got to worry about CJ. You ain't got to worry about Asia. If God brought Regina, you better believe that God can get them too. He got him. Thank y'all. That's what he did. He took between the two of them. And that's what he did. He got the glory out of all of that. Did I leave anything out? I don't think I left anything out. No, nothing, no reasoning between what you just saw by illustration. But what I need y'all to know right now is that I asked a question to two people during this week in my preparation for this message. So I'm going to ask the question to here this morning. Who was your first child? Asia. Who was your first child? Mom, who was your first child? All right. You know you had them, right? But you do not know the moment that you conceived. You don't know that. That was never revealed to you when God did it. God did it. So I said, if I can't ever tell the moment that God put inside of me something, because there ain't no way for me to know. It is just through time that it is revealed what God has did inside of me. My final words is, there is something inside of every one of us that has not yet come to our mind. But God, through prophetic utterance, is going to make it come to your understanding. So I need you to open your mind in the spirit to him so that you can know what it is that God have called to you. Amen. No way that you can know. No way. What happened to Mary? It's what happens to us in our spiritual lives. That's how it happens. Not that we're going to give birth to the Son, Jesus Christ, but that we're going to give birth to how God is choosing to reveal himself in this hour. Huh? I got moved so much until I called my boys and I told them, I will not wait for the formalities of some getting some piece of paper and waiting for you to worry about when am I called and all of that. I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to come in here and I'm going to make you responsible for getting before people, and I'm going to pass this mantle while I'm still here. This is a living legacy, and you're going to have to stand up and just, and here's the greatest thing. You ain't got to live up to my expectations. You just got to go to God. Do you hear what I'm saying? You have not to live up to my expectations. See, here's what we're teaching them in here. Is they gotta wait until tradition say they can do that. They're waiting until all of the formalities and all of these ceremonies are doing that. We're not letting God move freely inside of them. Amen? Amen. God bless you all. Put your hands together and bless him. I know. That one was really, that was really wonderful to me. And I pray that the presentation of it and that summary of trying to bring all of this together, these words that I'm using, is meaningful to you. And I have to just let myself be calm. Don, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to bring understanding. Amen. You deliver that word and you declare it with as much clarity as you possibly can. But I pray to God today that you have received something that's going to help you in the morsels of your life, the day-to-day things. Amen. Give yourself to God in a way that it's just like, man, it's wonderful. Amen. It's wonderful. Looking forward to seeing y'all next week. Before us, we have another decline in temperatures. So it's still this season. Amen. It's still the season. But the thing that we did is we didn't wait till the season got here before we started preparing for it. Amen. I'm saying that because you can look at these natural things and know the power of God's hand of what he's saying to you in your spiritual life. Don't wait to get ready when the season is there. Prepare because you know in expectation it's coming. All right? So do these things for us. Continue to know the power of God, and because they got us duped. They got us really messed up. Because y'all did all of that talk about TikTok. Now TikTok back in the app store. They're going to have you running from one thing to the other, tripping over irrelevant stuff, people. They're going to have you tripping over. Just don't. I hate to use the eggs. I bring that up. They have you tripping over things that are so just, why? And what it's doing is it's causing you to lose focus on what you really should be focusing on. That's what God's doing in your life. You say I didn't watch half. I don't know what you were doing during the halftime, but it just didn't find it. Just that don't do it. And that's where everything in life. You can't run behind everything that's going on. You can't know everything. You can't be on top of everything. Lord, Decatur is, because if you keep looking at the world been like this all along. It has always been full of trouble, full of the devil. That's what the world is. Amen. Stop allowing that to draw you away from what God have you doing. Tell your neighbor, stay focused on the Lord. God bless you in your giving. Give today as you have so said in your heart. I love you. I look forward to seeing each of you next week. And we'll be here, if the Lord so wills, at 11 o'clock, amen, a.m. Come to your feet. And we'll see each of you next week.